Well, well, well. Somebody asked to move his schedule around. He can't even show up on time. Welcome in. Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton, on time. And there's everybody's favorite, not on time, cousin Shay. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. What's going on? My bad. Here I switched with Steven and didn't even show up. Ain't that something? Wouldn't that have been something if I just didn't show up at all? Just be like,
oh, we didn't think you were.
I got Monday mixed up with Tuesday. I apologize. Nope. Actually, I've been doing some work. And actually,
were you walking?
Yeah. Walking to the fridge, get me a cold beer, you know? I know it's due. It's coming. I promise. I like to wait till the season gets done. Transfer portal gets done, you know?
Spring practice.
Wait for the moment, right? After the coaches meet down there in Florida, I'm all in, baby. No, I promise. I'll keep my word. Not today. Golly, Mike, get off my ass. It's 10 degrees this morning.
Yep. And it looks like you just missed out on a quarterback. So not a ton of news here in the SEC today. So we thought it'd be perfect time, Shane, to kick off this season. I bet he didn't even do any work for that either.
Yes,
but
even though I did.
I told him to have it ready, we're going to rank the SEC coaches. But before we do that, Shane, the big news in the SEC.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not official yet, even, unless it just broke. But Sam Levitt.
He's coming to Tennessee.
I thought this was a done deal, Shane. They had ESPN, and then On Three, and now not official, Shane. So, again, kind of confusing, but so it was reported Sam Levitt has committed to LSU, and then it was reported, hey, Tennessee still got a shot, and they're going to make their last efforts. So the latest, Shane, is Sam Levitt to LSU looks likely, but Who knows?
Josh Heupel may be at his airport, you know, kissing ass. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's a crazy thing, man. Brother, I mean, Alabama Smothers was a prime example. You just, nothing's guaranteed. And even if this happens, there may be some sort of donor that comes in at the last second and says, hey, brother, come up here and we'll get this for you. We're in a cash grab right now. And clearly it's between us two.
Well, and speaking of that, Shane, cash grab, low ball and goalish. Appreciate you, buddy. Took you long enough, Shane. Every time you're late, you should have to give a dollar to goalish on the planes. Oh. They could use it. You know what?
Yeah, they need it. That right? No, have they got all the USF guys yet? I mean, is there one more that we can get up here on this roster? Florida should be scared, you know.
Well, they do play this season, so yeah. Hey, if Levitt goes to LSU like expected,
yes,
how big is that for Kiffin and company and LSU and year one under him, and how big of a loss is it potentially for Low T Heupel?
That's a great question. I fear more for the loss, right? Tennessee sitting out here, we're praying to God our quarterback gets a 10th year of eligibility and. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And now we've got all the chips on this guy. I mean, we had Bo come in next day's in Virginia, so that couldn't have went too well. So, I feel like you get caught courting somebody too long, you're going to get caught with your pants down. What's that game called with the music and the chairs and you run around them, Mike? Musical chairs. I feel like Tennessee's about to have that episode. But I think it's big. Absolutely big for LSU. You know, we joked and we made fun of Lane Kiffin at the start of this thing, but he's doing exactly what we thought he would do, and that is create ripples and steal kids. So that's what's happening down there at LSU. But, man, huge gamble because now you're putting all your chips on this guy to do something. And we've seen this before, Mike. We saw it up in Oklahoma. We've seen it at, other schools where they bring that guy. Georgia did it, you know, then they ended up benching him. So I feel like when you put all your money on one guy, he needs to perform immediately. If he doesn't, then we're blaming the coach first.
Yeah, Alan says, the game you're thinking of, Shane, is Duck
That's
Goose.
The one. That's the one. I knew it's something like that. Something with a bird in it.
Yeah. And then, like you said, latest with Joey Aguilar. So we're just sitting around waiting for a damn judge, apparently, Shane.
Yeah. Yeah.
We know how judges are.
Yeah.
No offense to any of you few judges. But apparently, so they had a conference call, right?
Yeah.
And the judge says both cannot meet with the plaintiffs, which would be Tennessee and all these people trying to get a waiver, and the NCAA this week. So they won't be meeting this week. I don't know why, but that's the latest. The portal closes on Friday, so there will not be a resolution for Joey Aguilar and several others. They say about 20 players are awaiting this decision. So that's where we're at. Timing is less than ideal, but I think if you're Tennessee, you have to hope he's there, but you've got to plan as if he's not going to be there. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, just tell these kids to go get a job, you know? Go start a podcast or something. I mean, we do this every year, right? There's always some sort of drama at the end of the year. We'll wait for some court decision to do this and that. It's like, good God. You know, let's just, if we all have, it's like parenting, Mike. We have to have a united front. And if we're all on the same page that X amount of years is all you get, then that's all you get. Sorry it didn't work out. On to the next.
Sounds like there's a story there that you don't want to share about what's going on with the parenting, but we'll
save
that.
Don't even get me started, Mike. Where's my belt? No.
Vol Tiger says the judge's probably a Bama fan.
Yeah. Now, my youngest is on great behavior because, again, tomorrow's her birthday, so she's all pumped up for that. Ooh. She'll be an asshole on Wednesday. just kidding. Love you.
Hey, and then the only other thing, I thought this was pretty noteworthy today in the SEC, Shane.
Yeah.
Georgia. How about them dogs? Little good news, bad news, Shane. We'll start with the good news. We like to be optimistic here.
Yeah.
Running back depth, not going to be an issue for the dogs next season because Nate Frazier, there was some speculation he was going to jump ship. He didn't even leave. He didn't even get in the portal. Ohio State was like, oh, he's coming. He's coming. No, sir. He's a dog. So Nate Frazier staying in Athens, that's big. Mm-hmm. And then they've added former Kentucky running back, I should say, Dante Dowdell, who I thought he was a pretty good player. Yeah. So just a little bit more depth there for Georgia at the running back position. And then the unfortunate news, though, their offensive tackle, Monroe Freeling has declared for the draft. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of a blow for them dogs, but I'm sure Kirby's got the next great lineman ready to go. You know what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I hope so. Right. And it honestly, it felt like Georgia kind of got back to its roots a little bit because of that offensive line finally coming together at the end of the season. So, yeah, I'd like to see them keep building on that. I'd love to have them come back for another year, but yeah, Georgia is funny. We're talking a lot of SEC football teams. We just forget about old Kirby Smart down there doing his thing, you know, keeping kids on staff, right? Putting more in the draft. I mean, it's just an absolute machine. We keep forgetting about it.
Got to get that offensive line ready to go week one for Tennessee State, Shane.
Oh, I'm sure he'll make it sound like the worst defense or the best defense he's ever faced. But yeah. Portal's been nuts, man. It's been absolutely nuts. Every time I get on there, one guy's leaving, one guy's entering. It's crazy to me. When again is the I know I ask you every day, but when's the finish line? When does this window close? Obviously, Friday. We got two teams that still will be open, but
right, it'll be Friday.
Okay, all right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean it ends. That's the mm-hmm. deadline to enter the portal. So yeah. As long as you're in by Friday, you can take a month to decide if you want to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you're talking about how wild the portal is, Shane. Oklahoma had a defensive lineman. I'm going to butcher his name real quick. P.J. Adewari.
Yeah?
He was in the portal, Shane, for guess how long?
2 hours.
2 minutes.
Two minutes.
Damn. He got in the portal. He's back in Norman. So did he really want to go? I don't think so. Maybe it was just a filing error. You know what?
Yeah, he's looking at Nag. I'll do it. No, you won't. You will not hit that button, sir. How many times can you enter? Like, if you enter, can you, like, and you go somewhere, can you get back in it? Like, long as you're in the window? Just curious.
I think so, yeah. Now, here's the deal. Now, a good player, this doesn't matter, right? But
yeah.
if let's say you're a fringe player.
Yeah.
And I don't mean disrespectfully because, but there's a lot of guys that get kind of, you know, they always say, well, I think he's just trying to get more money.
Yeah.
If you go into the portal, you forfeit the right to return.
Yeah.
So if a school doesn't want you and, you know, but you're trying to get more money, as soon as you go into that portal, your window to come back could be closed.
Slippery slope, huh? I'd like to see that happen more and then made public. On3 doesn't do those that often, you know? Like, this kid rejected at the bottom. His ass packing, you know?
Yeah, I think I know why they don't do that, Shane.
Yeah, I know.
All right, well, I know what they also don't do, Shane.
What's that? Eat vegetables?
Rankies coaches on January 12th. Come on, brother. Let's rank the SEC coaches for 2026. How nervous are you two?
So freaking nervous.
Okay.
I did a list, Mike. I sat in here and I did a list. I checked it twice and I'm uncomfortable with about five of the coaches right now. So
right.
That's just where I'm at.
Okay, I say we start at the bottom.
Can I, before we get started, just this is how I'm going into this list? I mean, a lot of times we just say, hey, this is the best coach, this is the worst coach. But this is how I did it, all right? I looked at it as kind of as a whole, not just X's and O's, right? Recruiting players, recruiting coaches, you know, just where they were when they started, where they're at right now. So there's a whole bunch of that going into this thought process. It isn't saying, hey, Coach A is better than Coach B. I didn't do a power ranking, if you right. will.
Yeah. Mike A says, that's why Shane was late. He was doing his homework.
Yes. 6:40. I'm like, oh shit. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, number 16. And again, man, you put a guy down here, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean we hate him, but somebody's got to rank last, yeah. you know?
Yeah.
I don't feel too bad about the coach I put 16th, but I always feel bad about the quarterback that I put 16th in these rankings. Number 16, and this is cheating a little bit, Shane, because I think this guy's already off to a terrific start at his new school. But he literally has never coached in a football game, so I'm gonna put him dead last, kind of by default.
Yeah,
give me Kentucky's Will Stein, elite offensive mind.
Yeah,
again, if we were doing offensive coordinator rankings, which we probably will, we got a lot of time to kill, Shane. He's gonna be up the list, right?
Yeah.
But this is head coach 2026. He could be the next great coach. He could be the next Chad Morris, for all I know. I've not seen this man coach as a head coach. I'm putting him 16th. Will Stein.
Now, am I giving you my 16, or am I just like saying, hey, Mike, that was terrible? You
should have had him higher. I want a Shane list too.
Well,
this is going straight on the internet.
It ain't Will Stein, all right? And I'll tell you one of the reasons, and I'll go ahead and mention Will Stein since we're on this one. I like what he's done already. You talk about a decaying program. That's exactly what the Kentucky Wildcats were. And, you know, there's a lot of people had to Google who Will Stein was when he was hired up there. But you can already see some immediate results, which I don't think you can for some of these other coaches that are below Will Stein for me. I have him at the 14 spot. So not much higher. But for me, I just feel like out of the gate, I'm extremely impressed with the amount of recruits he's bringing in and the caliber that now he's got to put it all together. I think they're going to have an awesome offense just because you're going to be comparing it to Coach Stoops' football team last year. But yeah, don't be surprised if Kentucky isn't that team that I'm not saying they're going to win a playoff game or anything, but all of a sudden they're 6-7 wins in the season and you're afraid to play them a little bit. So it's a tricky game. It's a trap game. Those are the things that are going to float around those Kentucky Wildcats. And I think a lot of that has to do with Coach Stein.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Kentucky fans are already on overdrive, Shane, with all these portal additions they're adding. I think it was Josh Pate said, I could see him in the playoff in 2 years.
Yeah.
So who knows? That could be I think that's crazy talk. But
you can give me all the ingredients. Doesn't mean I can make the gumbo. You know what I'm saying? Right. We got to see it.
Shane's list of shame here. So who do you got 16th?
I got Ryan Silver Fox, number 16. which isn't fair, right? Has coaching experience. I mean, we've got to see that a little bit, but it's different in this league. And it's a lot different in Arkansas. And you're going to be judged accordingly. But it's a tough place to build, apparently, here the last couple of coaches. So I just feel like we're in that murky water. Got to see it. We're kind of in that prove it area. So definitely can move up this list. But right now I am not confident at all.
Mm.
Hell, the damn high schools don't even want to talk to him over there.
Oh, buddy. Okay, number 15. I've been curious to see how many we hit on the nose here. We both rank them the same. So no pressure, but just kind of curious. Give me number 15, Shane. I'm going Mr. Jeff Lebby, Mississippi State. Nice little rebound, 5-8, right, this year. Yeah. But overall, I think he's a really good offensive coordinator, an excellent quarterback coach. But he's 7-18 overall. He's 1-15 in conference play. I'm still in the wait and see mode, and I realize it's very difficult in Mississippi State, arguably the toughest job in the conference. But I'm not sold, buddy.
Yeah, we're going into year three, Mike, and I agree with you. I was going to kind of play it off like, how dare you put Lebby at this spot? But that's exactly where I have him. And mainly because one SEC win, right? Two seasons against an Arkansas team that didn't even have a head coach at the time. So, not super confident. Wait, did they have Sam or did they fire Sam after that one? Yeah, I can't
remember. They did not have him.
Yeah, so, yeah, I just, again, he's had time. Right, and I'm not saying the game has been easy. The cards are stacked against him coming in, but we're going into year three, and I'm not uber confident that they're going to exceed expectations year three, and a lot of that has to do with Coach Lebby.
Well, they did make a bowl.
Did they? I mean,
kind of. Because like 20 teams passed, you know what?
Yeah, no one else was doing it, so they're like, hey, you want a shot here?
Big year for Coach Lebby. Yeah. And the schedule does not help with multiple road games, week two and three, at Minnesota, at South Carolina.
But to be fair, don't you feel like this is a little bit, and again, we're going to nine-game SEC schedule, but I feel like Mississippi State, the one thing that you can say about Lebby is the schedule has been extremely tough the last two seasons. And I'm not saying it's easy here. Like, October is absolutely ridiculous. But, I mean, we got new coaches at Ole Miss, new coaches at Auburn, I don't know, brother. I'm just feeling like this is a little bit easier for him this year, and it's time to put up or shut up.
Yeah. Who was it here? I think it was Monkey. He said, Shane's just mad Silver Fox got Pittman fired.
That's it. It's going to take a while. You know what? Sam never had a beer with me, though, Silver Fox. So you grab a beer with me, and I'll move you right up his – that's – you know me, Mike. As soon as I meet a coach, I'm like, you know, he's awesome. You know, I'm involved with every pyramid scheme that's out there, Mike.
All right, number 14, SEC coach for 26, Shane.
Yes.
And again, I didn't know where to rank this guy. Honestly, I wanted to put him a little bit higher, but he's only coached three games. Give me Pete Golding, Ole Miss.
Ooh.
Again, I really like what I've seen thus far, but I'm also kind of leaning towards guys that have actually gotten it done for some length of time, if that makes sense, as a head coach.
I already told you my 14, it was Will Stein, but, you know, we're getting into this mix here, this 11, 12, 13 spot and new faces. I'm just be blunt with you, Mike. It's a bunch of new faces in the SEC.
Right.
And I think you could go either way, but but it's in a different grouping than Silverfield and Coach Stein. And the reason I say that is I feel like this one, they have proved some stuff. They're proving it now with the recruiting and who they're bringing on staff. So I got Pete a little higher. And this may be a little much, and I may change my tune, but brother, I told you, and I would apologize to him if he was online right now. I was wrong. And he has not only exceeded expectations in the college football playoffs, but more importantly, he's exceeded expectations with keeping this roster pretty much intact while recruiting, while finding some more portal kids, some additions, some elite additions, which blows my mind. Did not see that coming. So I've got him higher. Still has to prove a lot, but I got him at that 11 spot right now.
Ooh. He's going to have to win some games to keep it there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he can't.
Yeah.
Losing Trinidad. Of course, maybe he gets them.
Yeah.
But that'll be big. You know what?
Yeah. Is it?
That will be big.
Do you think I'm just like caught in the moment? That I'm looking too small time here. I just told you about. I'm looking at all this resume, and then I'm like, "But did you see what he did the last two games? Did you see who he's bringing up here on recruiting visits and getting to commit to Ole Miss Rebels?
Like old pork rinds. 14, dude. What? I'm out. This is a clown list. He should be top 10. I mean, he's coached three games.
Yeah,
as an interim.
Yeah.
Playoff team, and one of them was Tulane. Again, I'm not trying to besmirch him because I've been wildly impressed.
Yes.
But inheriting a team basically the last week of November, I can't give you a ton of credit for being a top 10 coach in this conference.
Pete even said it, like literally, he said it multiple times. If there was a time Lane Kiffin would leave and it not hurt this program, it's right now. We're in cruise control. We know what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's obviously some day-to-day activities that probably changed. There's some coaching that changed, some philosophies, but brother, at the end of the day, it was Lane Kiffin's football team that Pete got to this point. So I'm kind of with you. But that's why I have him higher, is just because I have seen a couple of great games and I have seen what he's done to start, you know, his own chapter up there in Ole Miss.
Hey, let me ask you this, because again, three games, Shane. Mm-hmm. So it's really easy to overreact to three games. What if you could look at your list and maybe tell me, let's say Ole Miss returns to the playoff next year.
Yeah.
First year under Pete Golding. So I don't know what record that would be, probably 10-2 or better.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter, 10 or 11 or hell, 12-0. Whatever the record is. If Ole Miss makes it back to the playoff, where would Pete Golding rank if you had a opportunity to do the list then? And I know there's uncertainty because you got to see other ones,
yeah.
But I'll just tell you that if he could come in here and do that, he's probably top five.
You know, I was thinking top six.
Yeah.
So, yeah, somewhere in that six spot, not one or two, but 3 to 6 kind of range, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now if he wins it.
He's got an opportunity to skyrocket up this list. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think I got to see a little bit more of it.
Yeah, you're still in the ether right now. Everybody's excited, enamored with what happened and the feats that were created by Ole Miss this season. But, brother, we got to pump the brakes a little bit, right?
They're still in that honeymoon phase.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll tell you, Shane, I've said it before. I'm going to say this all off season. They ain't going to fire him for this. But if he loses to LSU at home, buddy. I mean, everybody and their mother is going to be saying, oh, that was a good run.
Yeah.
Kiffin's gone and the program's in decline. Well, fair or not, that'll be the narrative.
Yeah.
He's got a lot to lose that first month of the season.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know who else does, Shane?
Who?
The number 13 coach in the SEC. Give me the Silver Fox, Ryan Silverfield. Again, Shane doesn't respect you. I respect you a little bit. You're 50 and 25 at Memphis. Hey, that should count for something, Shane. 27 and 21 in conference play. And he's beaten a couple SEC teams. So, you know, put him in there at Arkansas.
Yeah.
Let everybody write him off. He's doing a good job in-state recruiting, unless you're Casey Dick. He's doing a good job importing Memphis to Arkansas via the transfer portal. This could be a much quicker rebuild than anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, I told you what I thought. I don't know, man. Listen, I'm going to give everybody a shot before I go, like, too judgy, right? Yeah. But that first loss, especially if it's to, like, a Utah or something, yeah, I'm going to get extremely judgy. Or if you're getting blown out, right? Because one thing you could say about Sam is – or it's just the Arkansas Razorbacks in general, man. They were sometimes a series away, a play away, a mistake away from being in every single football game last year. And if we're back to Chad Morris, I shouldn't say that. That's,
yeah, nobody's that bad,
no,
Shane.
No. But, I mean, if we take that big of a step back, I'm going to be a little bit more worried and a little bit more judgy.
Well, let me ask you, why do you think it will be such a step back? Hell, they just went 2-10. I mean, how can you literally go step back unless
just because and again, I know there's no such thing as close, but we all watched Ole Miss, we all watched Memphis, we all watched Tennessee. I mean, there were several games. This was not a 2-win Arkansas team, in my opinion. I feel like it could have been a 5-6 win team easily, and not easily, but it should have been, right? I felt like the ceiling could have been an 8-win Arkansas team. That's the kind of squad they had last year. And the fact we landed on 2 is exactly why we fired our coach and exactly why we didn't retain Bobby Petrino as the head coach. But again, you know, this is going to be one of the bigger rebuilds right here because of the fallout that happened after the coach left.
What record would it take for Arkansas to achieve this year for you to say, you know what, I'm starting to buy in the old Silver Fox. Not saying he's top five or anything, but for you to just believe, you know, I think they may have got the right guy.
I mean, we don't know what the over-under is. Right.
If I had to guess, Shane.
2-10?
No, way higher than that. Because we got Purple Lions here. We got Tulsa. Yeah. Vanderbilt's probably winnable. Auburn. Who knows about them?
You think it's going to be more than – you're thinking 4? I think it's going to be closer to 2.5, 3.
I'd say 4.5 is over-under.
Ugh. Yeah. Right now, it's early, Mike, but I think they'd be underdogs in every single game except Purple Lions and Tulsa.
Hmm. Well, okay, so if they go 3-9, you're going to be like, well, we might have got us a coach. Is that what you're telling me?
No. I mean,
South Carolina was dog shit, right?
Right.
What is Vanderbilt without Diego Pavia and their All-American tight end?
You got to win some games, Mike.
Missouri literally lost every starter on defense.
Yeah.
Their quarterback, again, he's got potential. I heard Ole Miss tell me how much potential he's got. His ass was on the bench all season. So they don't have a receiver. I mean, I could pick apart a lot of these teams.
Yeah. Look at these cousins agreeing with us. 3 wins, 3 wins.
Could he win coach of the year if he goes 4-8?
We're back, baby.
Don't you think, though, they're similar to Tennessee, where when you write them off.
Yeah.
Buddy, we've seen, who was it, Houston Nutt?
Yeah.
Went all the way to the SEC championship, I think, in his first or second year. So, I don't know. This is just a program, Shane. When you discount them, when you say they're going to win 3 games, that's when they win 13.
Well, I saw that. Speaking of Tennessee, I was like, you just know old Max going to come over here, win a game winner, finally make one in Neyland.
Right. And I don't know if you know this, Shane, but again, it's not 100% comparable. But
yeah,
last year when he was at Memphis, his roster was like quite literally like 65 transfers.
Yeah.
And he turned, you know, again, so he's got a track record of putting this thing together via the transfer portal, and they're doing the same thing this offseason in Fayetteville. So he has experience doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. It's too early, you know?
Yeah. All right. Number 12, Shane, in the head coach rankings in the SEC 2026.
Oh, wait. My 13.
Yeah. Who is that?
My 13 is my boy, the Russian, Alex Gullish, number 13.
Okay.
Right? Right?
And I think that's fair.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. I was afraid you're going to be upset there for a second. I feel like all these coaches, these are the ones, kind of the ones we're talking about for the most part, except right. maybe a couple, still could be at the top of this list. You know, I mean, this is way too early. Let's see some playing, right? But I do think that, you know, kind of a rough start with maintaining your roster. A lot of that, I know, maybe it's charisma. Maybe you had a little trouble with money. I mean, we're going to find out exactly why Auburn wasn't able to keep all these guys. But once they start playing, I do feel like Alex is going to be tremendous on the Plains. But we got a little build ahead of us.
That's right where I went, Shane, for number 12. So we're about right on there. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't fair or not, I give you more credit for what you've done in this conference.
Yes.
Than I do outside of it. He's never had a losing season. I think mm-hmm. that is important as a head coach. He's got a solid conference record. It's 14-10. Never had a losing record in conference either, Gullish, in three seasons. He immediately turned South Florida around. I think he's a major upgrade over old Hugh Freeze. So
yeah.
I think Gullish could do really well at Auburn. But you're right. It's a tough roster situation.
Yeah.
But we got the Auburn Bulls now to look forward to, Shane. And if nothing else, I think they're going to be dynamic on offense.
Yes.
I think they're going to be fun as hell, unlike the last couple years. Because we've essentially seen this, right, at Mississippi State, at Tennessee, at Ole Miss. When you come in with this offense, you can turn around at least the offense essentially overnight, and that's the expectation there on the Plains. So give me Gullish, number 12.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have, number 12?
Number 12, your boy, John Summerall, down there in Florida. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, I got him a little higher than most of the coaches, but again, what he's been doing with Tulane, obviously impressive, getting them to the college football playoffs. This is a different animal, and I love it. I love, out of all the new coaches in the SEC, other than Pete, because that's a different situation, I love John coming over here, planting the flag, keeping the kids at home, getting rid of what's not working in the locker room. You know, it just feels like they're already you know, some of these new coaches, some of these new teams, it feels like, hey, we got to give them some time. It feels like that time has already started in Florida. So I expect him to hit the ground running maybe a little sooner, a little quicker than some of these other new coaches in the conference.
Shane, never told you how smart you are. Sometimes. John Summerall, number 11. That's where I'm at. Again, same deal. I think he's a great coach. He's not done it in this conference as a head coach.
Yeah.
So he's got to start to do that to move up this list. But I agree 1,000% everything you're saying. It seems like they're keeping the critical players. Seems like they're attacking the portal and adding where there's deficiencies. And Where do you feel about that? I one thing that I think is like flown under the radar. And again, yeah. I don't mean to be disrespectful to DJ Lagway, especially after like hyping him up all offseason.
Yeah.
But the fact that he landed at Baylor and apparently still visiting Ole Miss, but I think he's sticking with Baylor.
Yeah.
Man, let's be honest. We look down on Baylor.
Yeah.
As we should. But the fact that he's landed there, I know he's from out there and his dad played, so maybe that has more to do with it than anything. But the fact that this guy that so many were enamored with last offseason, the fact that John Summerall is like, you know, we covered it. Apparently he met with him and said, wish you the best. You know, yeah. Basically, the fact that he's done that and essentially everybody in the SEC, I guess, I don't know who he visited in the Big Ten or even if he even did. But the point being that he landed at Baylor.
Yeah.
That to me also is a good sign, I think, for Summerall. Does that make sense? Like he sees an issue, perhaps.
Yeah.
And said, we're better off. You know, he could have done the thing, Shane, where he could have went all in. I want the big name. I want the arm talent.
Yeah.
And that's what Billy Napier did. And you know, there's a lot of reasons Billy Napier's not our coach anymore. But the main one is DJ Lagway got hurt and DJ Lagway didn't progress and Napier had to go.
And also on that note, I feel like sometimes the coaches, I mean, they're cocky, right? Every single one of them is arrogant. If they tell you they're not, they're lying. They feel like they are the best at what they do, and that's why they're in the spot they are. And if you get down there to Florida and you're like, I can fix DJ, right? Isn't that the attitude I would have? I mean, seriously, yeah, Billy couldn't get it done, but I see potential. I can get it fixed. But they didn't do that. It wasn't going to work. So it moved on, and I think it's best for both parties, and we're starting fresh down here in the swamp. So, yeah, but that being said, if he goes to Ole Miss and starts kicking some ass, and I'll be like, hey, John missed out.
Well, that's true. That is true, Shane. But I also, you know, Summerall's record is insane, 43-12. He was 2 years at Troy, went to the conference championship both years.
Mm-hmm.
2 years at Tulane, went to the conference championship both years. So this guy's just a damn winner. You know what? And I think he's going to win big at Florida. I really do.
I do too. And he's saying the right stuff. And if you've not really got to listen, we're going to have more clips later in the season and stuff. I mean, he's just a football guy. That's what I like about a lot of these new dudes. They're football dudes, right? We're kind of getting away from that, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, we're getting back to some damn chewing tobacco here.
All right. So, did you tell us who your number 11 is?
Number 11. Yeah, Pete Golding. I had Pete at 11.
Okay. All right, number 10 for me, Shane. This might be a little controversial.
Uh-oh.
He just won SEC Coach of the Year. Give me Clark Lee. Again, I think he's turned it around, Shane.
Yeah.
I'm not calling him out by putting him number 10, but it has been a tough turnaround, and the record is not exactly pretty, but they just went 10-3, 6-2 mm-hmm. in conference. Hell of a job. But fair or not, Shane, I'm a little slightly concerned. And again, yeah, he's the face of the program, so, well, sort of. I mean, the face is Diego Pavia. That's what I'm concerned about, losing Pavia, losing Stowers, and a lot of these, you know, they were the most veteran team in the conference.
Yeah.
There was a reason, Shane, I was telling you all offseason, buy into Vanderbilt. You said, get the hell out of here. They're not going to be the most experienced team coming in next year. So I'm a little concerned that we're going to take a big step back. And basically, I think it's been one terrific year, but the rest of the years have got me concerned of how good Clark Lee is. Is that fair?
No, not really. And the reason I say that, Mike, it's the old Coach Stoops conversation we had, right? If we move Coach Lee to this school, how well would he be doing? And one thing that, I mean, nobody has it tougher than Coach Lee when he took that job there in Nashville. But to go from where that was to where we're at now, getting the number one recruit and the quarterback, right? I mean, we couldn't have fathomed that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even when there, James Franklin was there. So, like, we weren't even at that level yet. Yet, brother, they're creating something pretty special. Now they got the money, and you're building a program. You're literally building a stadium, or built a stadium. So, for me, I think Coach is not just one good season, one bad season. It's where you are at, what have you done, and if I moved you to a different spot, how well would you be doing there? And I think Coach Lee doesn't get enough respect. And this is a guy that's got to walk so many damn miles because of him. But it wasn't just this season. Last season was really good. And I feel like what the problem is, we put too much credit on Diego Pavia. And I'm not trying to take away from what he did, but it was some players around him too, right? It wasn't just Pavia's team.
Thor Hogg says, anyone who makes Shane's walk moves right up his
right
list.
Up the list, right up the list. So, yeah, I got Coach Lee a little higher than you. I got him at the 8 spot, actually.
So who do you got number 10?
Number 10, the other Shane, South Carolina Shane Ooh. Beamer. I got him at the 10 spot. Now, this is a guy that's moved down. because we haven't got to talk to him in a while. But for me, man, it's just the frustrating part for me is you got 80% of everything you need to be an elite coach. And what I mean by that, Mike, they're getting the talent. They're getting the money. They're getting the fans. They're getting me to buy in every damn season. But they're whiffing on the damn coaches, the assistant coaches. And that's part of the business. That's part of the job. And I got to say, it's been, other than your defensive coordinator, I feel like it's failed miserably over and over again. Here you got a potential Heisman quarterback, and to see what I saw on the football field last year in 25, and Shane Beamer will be the first to take credit for it, right? Take blame when it's his fault, and I'm blaming him, and that's why I've moved him down a little bit here.
Hey, I think that's fair, Shane. So I got Beamer number 9.
Yeah.
And again, I always feel like I rate him a little higher than most. So maybe I am here, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I like old Beamer. I just think it's tough. I think that's a very tough job. But yeah, you're 100% right. It's kind of just making excuses, because to go from, I think they were as high as number 12 in the country, week two or three of the season, yeah, and then all the way down the list here to 4-8. That was some bad coaching, and not just coaching, but identifying the key assistants, like you said. Now, I think he's done a masterful job adding the right coaches this offseason.
Yeah, I did too.
And they've been doing I think it says so much about what they've got building there, Shane, that that so many of their guys decide to stay, key guys, mm-hmm, when they've got, I can't imagine the offers getting thrown Sellers and Stewart's way and Nick Harbor, but they remain.
Yeah.
And I'm not naive. Money's, hugely important there. But the fact that they're willing to stick it out, I think that says something for Beamer and company.
If you are a Gamecock fan and you absolutely love Shane Beamer, like, what could you say? Like, we're talking about, like, the ceiling could be higher for him, and obviously he can move up this list, but what is something that you could see he can do this year to convince you that he's a better coach than we're giving him credit for right now?
That's a good question, Shane. I know he whooped Tennessee's ass, but I'm trying to think of signature wins. Here's the thing. They need to finish damn games.
Yeah.
You know, that killed them this year, right? With Missouri, that was one. LSU 2 years ago, that was a big one.
Texas A&M,
that was the biggest one. I was getting near, Shane. Oh. Alabama, they had that. That one was basically stole away from them. But A&M is obviously the big one. Yeah, we got to be able to finish games. I think that is the biggest issue, and can never lose to Vanderbilt again, because I think he lost some fans that night not trying to be disrespectful to Vanderbilt, but losing to them is bad enough. Yeah. When you're beating them like 17, 18 years in a row, whatever it was. But losing 31-7,
mm-hmm,
God, that's a way to lose your fans right there. So not dropping games you shouldn't, but finishing ones that you should win.
I'll tell you, if we're doing a list of favorite coaches to talk to, he's in the top three. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Top three for sure.
Top three. All right. Number 8, Shane. Oh, man. This is not going to be pop. Oh, no. I shouldn't have done this because Cousin Rick just donated $200. But I'm going Coach Elko, number 8. And I didn't want to do it, Shane. I thought, you know, at times I think this man's like the best damn coach in the conference.
Yeah.
But this is 2 years in a row where down the stretch we've kind of fallen apart, lost to Texas both years. I think it's a more excusable year one, but last year that was, or this season, whatever you want to say, that was rough. The playoff was just abysmal. Now we have since come to learn Miami is pretty damn elite, but still, I don't excuse that. I do think Coach Elko's got the potential to be one of, if maybe even the best damn coach, Shane,
yeah,
in this conference. I mean, he's done a heck of a job after 2 years getting A&M to the playoffs. So, I don't know. I probably have him way too low, but give me number 8 for Coach Elko. And this is in large part because he's just been a head coach at A&M for 2 years. Thoughts on that?
Mine's exactly the same. here's the thing with Elko. I had him when I first did this list at the four spot. I did. And the reason I said, I was like, well, you look about, again, where they came from and where they're at. They're definitely moving in the right direction. College, I mean, they're in the playoffs. They almost had an undefeated season. And you just, again, it's moving in the right direction. Your assistant coaches are becoming head coaches, right? That checks that off the box. You're recruiting at an all-time high. It's like anybody you want. But I do feel like some of these Texas schools, and yeah, I get it. You got money, right? Is it fair? No, but I do think that sometimes money and the players that you're bringing in, sometimes it's skewed a little bit, and we give the coach a little too much credit because of the situation. Because right now, Mike, if you put fucking Shane Beamer down there at Texas A&M, he'd have a number one recruiting class, or at least top three recruiting class every single year. There's no doubt in my mind, right? But he's not. He's in Columbia, South Carolina. You know who's in the Golden Shrine? Yeah, Coach Elko right now, and he's benefiting from it. So, but again, progress. What he did.
Can I push back on that, though?
Please, please.
Because who we had before that? Jimbo, right?
Yeah.
He had the Golden Goose. He had the number one class.
Yeah.
He didn't make the playoff.
Yeah, but.
Feather in Coach Elko's cap, so to speak?
No, it's just on threes finally tuning up some of these ratings, right?
Okay, well, maybe that's fair, too.
I'll say this. Again, Elko's in the right direction, and we're splitting hairs when we're getting into these groupings and stuff. What happens now, what happens moving forward, you know, especially that second hiring of coaches is very, very pivotal for me for identifying a great coach. But more importantly, it's doubling up. We didn't have just one great season, which some people are pinning that you had an easier path this year. I'm not saying that. It's just I have higher expectations now. You're changing the standards down there. You're the one that's, you know, kind of moving that bar. So now that bar's raised to college football playoffs, you go back. Elko, if you asked earlier, what happens if Ole Miss goes to the playoffs? If Texas A&M goes back-to-back college football playoffs, Elko, in my opinion, when it's all said and done, will be a top three coach.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
He's a difficult one to judge after just 2 years.
Yeah.
But there's been progress each year.
Yeah.
So, again, I think he's a heck of a coach, as does Cousin Rick, Shane.
It's Texas Rick. A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick.
Number one. Elko's number one.
He says he wants a refund. Howdy, cousins. Hope everyone's doing great. Looking forward to seeing where Coach Elko fares. Love all the coaches. Lane makes it a little bit harder. And yes, I've met him. His dad was an incredible man. But pull it for a ball. Till they play my Aggies. Beat the hell out of Tennessee basketball. We let them down, Shane.
Yeah. Well, they're used to having everybody against them, right? You know?
Yeah, they're another one that plays better when they're disrespected. You know what?
You're welcome. There's a little fuel. Put that on your wall.
Now, again, this will be controversial, I think, Shane.
We're already there, Mike.
Maybe giving them too much respect.
Yeah,
I kind of regret already not having him where Elko is, but you're right. Elko's got a lot of resources at his disposal.
Yeah,
but so does this man. Give me Coach Drink, Shane, number seven, Eli Drinkwitz. Here, aside from Kirby, Shane.
Yeah,
he's the longest tenured coach in the SEC at one spot. He was hired at the same time as Kiffin, but Kiffin obviously changed. So I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect a winning conference record. Not a lot of these coaches can say it. And I think Missouri's done a hell of a job under him. And now I do think they've been disappointing the last year or two. I think that is fair to say as well. But that's why he's a little bit further down this list. So give me number seven. Give me Eli Drinkwitz. And I know he's a popular guy to bash, but
yeah,
I think overall he has been a hell of a hire for Mizzou.
Mike, and that's the crazy thing. I'm disagreeing with you here, obviously. I've got him at the three spot.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And again, we're not talking just wins and losses here. I mean, just you may have forgotten just what Mizzou, what he inherited when he got up there. And now the standard is, you know, trying to make it like the next level, the next hurdle is making the playoffs. 10 win, 11 win seasons. These are things that he's doing consistently. Did he have a bad year last year? Absolutely. But does he create an amazing staff that goes elsewhere? Yeah. Right? His team's constantly poached because they want his coordinators. You know, his players are constantly poached, but he's now fighting back in the portal. I just feel like when you think about Drinkwitz, when he came from App State to over here, just the culture that he created, and this is why Mizzou fans get pissed off because of a bad season, and rightfully so, but that's because you're used to losing just two games a year. And I feel like that's just kind of where you're at. So, yeah, I feel like Drink, if you gave him the Alabama job right now, he'd be in the college football playoffs every single season.
Cousin Derek said, Shane stands on business.
Just saying.
So who do you have number seven then?
Number seven.
Because Drink was my seven.
Well, let's just stay in Texas. Steve Sarkisian, number seven.
Ooh.
Yeah. All the Texas. Yeah. Here's the deal. This one moved down, right? I think if we'd have done this list last year, yeah, I probably would have had Sark in the three spot. And I just feel like he kind of dropped here. And a lot of people are excited about his roster, right? A lot of people excited about, you know, the playoff runs he's made prior to last season. But, guys, not everybody has a $40 million roster either. And so give me a $40 million roster, I'm probably going to flirt with the playoffs myself. So I'm not trying to shit on Steve Sarkisian, because what he's done in Austin is impressive, especially when you similar to Elko, you look at some of the coaches in the past. You know, it's been a while since they've won a championship down there, but they're damned and determined to do it this season. This is a guy that could potentially win coach of the year based on the roster moves I'm seeing here in the offseason, but I've got to see it on the football field. You've got all the pieces now. This is the ultimate test in 2026. Texas will be the preseason favorite. There'll be every award that you can be a favorite for, they'll have a Texas player on it.
Yeah.
But again, you got to put it together, and I'm in that wait and see approach.
Old Big Blue says, Shane stands on Bud Lights. And Ben South says, Shane doing his best not to be welcomed in any school in Texas.
Is it list season? I'm already getting my – when he said, you got to make a list, I was like, can I not just judge yours?
I don't think you're far off with that one, Shane. But number six, give me Mr. Brent Venables. Ooh. Shane, who I've come around on a little bit this year. I think we all respect him as an elite defensive coach.
Yeah.
But I think getting to the playoff and the strides that this program has made under him, particularly in the conference here, I think that speaks very highly of Coach Venables. And so give me him number six. Now, the only problem, Shane, and I saw Oklahoma fans point this out, which I don't necessarily buy into this stuff, but he has gone 10 wins, 6 wins, 10 wins, 6 wins. So
yeah,
he better not go 6 wins next year. Otherwise, we're going to have a real problem on our heads. So there's a lot there for Coach Venables, but give me Coach Venables number 6 on my list.
Well, not far off, but I've got it. Well, a little bit. I've got him in the 4 spot. I feel like, man, because last year I was out on him. I was, fired him, you know, get rid of him. I think he's a terrible coach. But then I'm watching this season, and I'm watching, and again, Jim Nagy, give him credit. A lot of people say it's all Jim Nagy, but, you know, this relationship has to work with the coach too, right? He's the one on the football field. He's the one that's going to get these kids in the right spot. You can't just bring stars in. It's got to mesh with the football team. So they're working together here, which is a phenomenal relationship. But more importantly, I think 24, I look at that season and I'm saying, you know, maybe it wasn't that it was a bad year. Maybe it was just super bad luck, right? That offensive line couldn't stay healthy for shit. It was one thing after another. Your star receiver's out. It was blah, 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 blah. And you go out here and you fix it. You don't hire your buddies. You go out here. You need a quarterback. Got to hire the coach? Sure, we'll do that. Package deal, we'll take it, right? And then what does it do? It gets a team that nobody had any expectations on succeeding at 25 to the college football playoffs. And honestly, probably would love to have that last game back because they could have moved forward. So I think a lot of this at the end of the day for me is I know it's not X's and O, but there's not a better O coach defense than Brent Venables right now. And what they've been doing talent-wise – out of this world. So yeah, I got him at the 4 spot. I'm back on it.
Well, let me, and maybe this isn't not a good way at all to judge these guys.
Yeah.
So maybe you won't buy into this at all, but any hesitation due to the fact that Venables is 1-3 against Sarkisian. Cause it was hard for me. I'll just give it away. I got Sarkisian 5. I couldn't put Venables over him because of that. Now, that shouldn't be the reason. That's not the sole reason. I mean, Sarkisian's, he's proven me wrong at Texas. I think he's done a good job. Even though I think if they miss a playoff, I think this might be his last year. But I think I can't put Venables ahead of Sark for that.
Well, some people just can't perform in certain situations, you know? I mean, I'll tell you this. I went golfing the other day by myself, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm a lot better than I was this time last year. And it was a par 5, and I'm by myself, and I'm coming up on a group of 70-year-old men, right? 4 of them. They're sitting on the green. They back off the green because they see me behind them, and they said, play on through. I've got to hit 135 yards over the water. There's no area in between. It's just the green passing. You're talking about stadium pulse? That shit went right in the water. I got my golf cart and drove right past him. I can make that shot if they're not there, but I can't when they're – so it's. I just feel like sometimes these games are a little bit situational, and you saw the Red River, man. It's always going to come down to one or two plays, right? A mistake here, a special team play here, something like that. So I feel like this rivalry, we SEC fans don't appreciate as much as Texas or Oklahoma fans do. But I think in 5-10 years, we're going to be, when we talk about the best rivalry in this league, Iron Bowl right now has always been my number one, but it's going to be pretty damn close with that Red River because of this matchup. So I feel like Venables will get back on the right side.
I mean, here's some of the scores, Shane. 49-0, 34-3,
23-6. Improvement. Improvement. Huh?
That's fair.
That's what my math teacher said.
Well, you know what she also said?
Yeah.
Steve it up. We appreciate
boys
you, buddy.
Showing up for the boys in Roll Tuscaloosa. Tide. It's Steven up. Roll Tide.
He says, partial refund from Rick for Rank and Elko. Thank you, Steven up. I didn't say much. Sorry, I mean, Sarkisian number 5. You know, he's been to 2 playoffs. I don't even count the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to piss him off. But again, that wasn't in the SEC. Credit for him for doing it. He won that conference. So that is awesome. Mm-hmm. But I think he's, when he got to the playoffs, particularly that first one that I said disregard, I mean, losing to DeBoring in Washington, God, yeah. That was a master class in getting out, coach. That should literally never happen.
Yeah.
I don't know, Shane. The offense is getting worse and worse, but maybe it's because it started so hot. I don't know, Shane. I don't know. But, again, Sarkisian, he's beating Saban. He whooped Saban's ass at one time. Can't beat Kirby, but, hell, hardly anybody can. I don't know where to put Sark, but I'm giving him top 5 status. I think he deserves that at least.
A lot of people giving my math teacher a hard time. She's a good woman. Get off of her. Number five, I've got Kalen DeBoer. And, you know, I felt like I was the only one that was kind of beating the Kalen DeBoer drum there for a minute. Everybody was on him. Can't wait for him to get out of the SEC. Take that Michigan job, you know. But, brother, I feel like that is one of the toughest jobs in America was following Nick Saban, and he's done tremendous, right? It's not been pretty, right? Like 2025, there wasn't too many pretty games last year, but there was an Alabama team winning a college football playoff game on the road and moving ahead and having an opportunity to compete for a national championship year two. There's a lot of coaches that are currently in the SEC that don't have that capability. I love the fact that he was able to keep a lot of that roster intact, but build around it and go out here and get an offensive coordinator. Now, you're frustrated with some of the stuff he's done. Absolutely. But I don't know, man. I feel like this was a tough place to excel because the expectations were already so high, but he's there, right? We're right there. In fact, Tide fans are just mad they're not in a national championship game. They're mad they're not winning an SEC championship. That's like phase two, and they're literally in year two with Kalen DeBoer. So I'm very impressed with what he's done, and I feel like if you get him time and buy into it, right, just he ain't going anywhere. He's your coach. If you buy into it, I feel like success will follow him.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. So we'll get to him on my list here in a minute. Give me number four, though, Shane. Mr. Josh Heupel. How about it, buddy? He took Tennessee to the playoff a couple years ago. Took a big step back this year. But, hey, they're reinvesting. They're blowing up a defense. Getting rid of Buddy Ball. Getting rid of strength and conditioning. We got to be tougher. We got to get back to our defensive roots. And I think he's one of the best offensive minds. He took a fireman, Shane. I don't know if you ever heard this. Their quarterback took the rail system 2 hours each way to JUCO football and turned that guy into the most prolific, statistically, passer in the SEC. I still think Heupel's got that fastball when it comes to coaching quarterbacks and offense. We got to get off this low-T shit, but give me Heupel number four.
Not far. I had him at six. Josh Heupel at six. This is another coach that fell a little bit. I probably had Josh top two, top three last year. Not saying that he can't do it, but to go, like you said, go out there, get a guy nobody's ever heard of and make him a significant player in this league is unheard of. But one thing that's been holding him back so much is the hiring. And, you know, we talked about this in a couple episodes ago about hiring your buddies, and sometimes that backfires. And I feel like that's what Josh, he just couldn't get off of. Well, he took a big step when he got rid of his buddy, you know, and I think that's a sign of growing into this field and becoming an elite coach. So Josh Heupel will move up this list again. But right now that's kind of where I have him.
Mm-hmm. And then who did you have four? Did you say that? Was that DeBoer?
Four was DeBoer.
Okay.
No. We're all over the place. Four was Venables. Five was DeBoer.
Okay.
Ooh, three Venables. Was your boy Drink.
Okay. Well, you overrated Drink, Shay, because number three should be Kalen DeBoer. Come on, buddy. I loved everything you said about him. I like to give him a hard time. He's DeBoering as hell. But he did get Bama back to the college football playoff. I bet they'll be there for many years to come. Of course, not if they keep losing everybody in the portal. But next year he'll have his quarterback for the first time.
Yeah.
His hand-selected quarterback. And I thought he did a good job with Ty Simpson this year. I know they kind of fizzled out there, but going on the road, winning a playoff game, and managed to win at Georgia. I mean, that was a huge game. I really do think this guy's a really good coach.
Yeah.
I think Alabama's lucky to have him. I know he's not the greatest of all time. Literally nobody else is. And I bet – I could be wrong, Shane, but I think even if Nick Saban was still the coach, yeah, of course they'd be better. But I don't think they'd be winning national championship after national championship. I really don't. I think Saban, he's a smart enough guy to get out when the getting was good.
Yeah.
He knew what was coming with NIL transfer portal. I think he didn't want any part of it. But give me DeBoering. Give me top three.
You know who's top one in my list? Cousin Rick coming through with a massive donation. Thank you, cuz. Really appreciate
it. It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick.
Just to show the donation was not a mistake, just love for the cousins. Only a little bruised feelings. Not all solid, what's that say?
Sold software.
Sold software. Oh, a lot before retirement. Giggle. Yeah. What software? I don't know. Like cotton? Beat the hell out of Vols tomorrow night.
Hey, we should have got into the software business. You know what?
Yeah. Can you imagine me in the software business?
No. No. Hey, shout out Shit.
Oh, Big Shit, what's going on?
You guys can no longer call me the Money Man. Cousin Rick clearly owns that title now. Personally, I'd put Sark 4 or 5. I didn't enjoy much of the offensive play calling at all, and losing to Florida, completely inexcusable. That's absolutely the thing. All these guys got some warts. You know what?
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a perfect coach out there. In fact, there's a reason none of these teams are in the national championship right now. So
so who do you have number three? You drink, right?
I have to drink number three.
Okay. And then so we're at number two?
Yeah.
Neither one of us has listed this man, so they got to be in some order here, Shane. I think we've got the same two. Give me Coach Lane Kiffin. Come on down. You know, all the trash from Ole Miss at the end of the day, as some people like to say, I think it's because they don't. Oh, damn it. We lost us a good one, Shane. Lane Kiffin off to the bayou. Not happy with how he did it, but that's not what this list is. This list is ranking these coaches. And when I know he hasn't won much of anything of significance yet, but I think he will. And I think the job he did at Ole Miss is top tier and one of the best coaching jobs we have seen in recent years. So if he could carry that momentum over to LSU, he's going to win a title there, I think.
Oh, and that's why I have Lane Kiffin number one.
Ooh.
I know. Everybody's like, wait a minute. What about Kirby Smart? I mean, Kirby Smart is an elite coach, right? And not every year Georgia gets the number one recruiting class. This is just that year right now for me. I see a coach right here that totally changed. I mean, we're talking an Ole Miss team that's never made an SEC championship, right? Still didn't do that. But year after year, 10, 11, now we're in the college football playoffs. Just totally transformed. We're giving Cignetti all this credit up there. This is our Indiana, right? It was Ole Miss Rebels. And so, yeah, Lane Kiffin made Oxford a special place. And now he's down there at LSU, and we always say, man, wait till Lane has resources. Wait till he's sitting at a spot that it's a little bit easier to recruit to. And, yeah, I feel like this is a program that is going to be competing for national championships sooner than later again, and a lot of that to do with Lane Kiffin right now.
Did you give any consideration to the fact, Shane, that Ole Miss played a weak-ass schedule the last 2 years? Well, I mean, that could be part of it, couldn't it?
It's not just the last 2 years, though, you know? I mean, we're talking like there's a handful of coaches that are sitting at that playoff bubble year in, year out. We had Drink there. We had Hopple there for a little bit. Yeah. Kirby Smart's always there. Nick Saban was there. Now DeBoer's there. But Lane Kiffin's been there. Lane Kiffin's not just a two-year one-hit. Yeah, hit wonder, you know. He's been having success down there for multiple years now. And the culture he's created is the reason, in my opinion, that Pete Golding's having so much success on the recruiting trail right now.
Hmm. Okay. Well, how's that different than Heupel then?
But what's different with Kirby Smart? This is what the argument's coming down to, is one and two coaches here. Mm-hmm. And Kirby Smart, yes, he's still very successful and winning SEC championships. Losing the first round of the college football playoffs is frustrating, but the standard down there is to make national championships and hoist that trophy. And, yes, nobody wants to play him. That's all well and good, but if you're comparing the, and when I say resources, it's location too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to remember that Georgia has always been really good at getting talent to their school. Why? A lot of it has to do with the location. Mark Richt had a ton of success, couldn't get to that next chapter. Kirby Smart comes in, starts winning the national championships. But now that money's coming up, right? Loyalty doesn't matter as much, but Georgia is still able to stay at the top of the hierarchy. And that's why I have him in the second spot here.
Hmm. No love for national championships, huh? First in 41 years, Shane, it took them.
Yeah, but how long ago was that? Right?
A couple years ago?
Do you see Georgia as a program that is getting better, or do you see a Georgia as a team that is stagnant or getting worse?
I think they are getting, I don't know if worse is the right word, but I think the roster is not as good.
And then when you look at Ole Miss, is it a team that's improving, or is it a team that, you know, is doing the same thing? So that's the only reason I got them flip-flopped.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, let me ask you this. Not that this would ever happen, but if both Kirby and Lane were on the market.
Yes.
Who do you think LSU would hire? If they both said, hey, we'll take the same money, we'll take it.
Who would LSU hire? I'm glad you said that, because Shane would hire Lane Kiffin and then fire his ass. But I think LSU would hire Kirby Smart.
Yeah, I think so too. So
a lot less drama comes around with Kirby Smart.
So I think you're grading Kiffin on a scale, or and Kirby too, just different scales, right? Where one's got an elite standard and has not met it the past couple of years, while the other is, hey, he's done a hell of a job, and he's turned Ole Miss into a bottom tier. I don't know if that's fair, but just a lower tier. I mean, there was people think we hate him. We say the truth here, Shane, right? But we've been giving Arkansas a lot of hell. He almost took the Arkansas job.
Yeah.
There was very little difference in Ole Miss and Arkansas when Kiffin was leaving Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
And Kiffin obviously went to Ole Miss. And what are they doing? They're, like Shane said, they're in the playoff discussion every year.
Yeah.
Arkansas just went 2-10 and fired everybody. You know what I mean? So the transformation is evident there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to your point, I mean, he did a hell of a job. But I do think he's lost a lot of goodwill after that. Do you think that's fair, too? Not with LSU people, but with literally everybody else.
Well, the one thing is you don't – like, I have no confidence that Lane Kiffin will be there in 3 years. So I feel like if LSU's going to win, they got to do it the next couple of seasons. They kind of built this little – you know, this little pressure cooker for Lane. I mean, he did it to himself, but there's also that clock that's going on, because the standards are different in Baton Rouge than they are in Oxford, Mississippi. Now, again, Lane changed that, but you're looking at LSU, the reason they got rid of Brian Kelly, I mean, he came in there, took the team to a SEC championship year one. His ass is gone 2 years later, you know? So, that's just the standard that's created down there, and they don't have time for some of these dumb games to be fair, that's one thing that Kirby didn't have, but I'm starting to see a little bit more of. It's just these dumb games that he shouldn't have lost, but they did.
Right.
You know, Lane's notorious for what'd you call him? Lane Whiffin there for a little bit. So
now we call him Lane Quitting.
Yeah, maybe we should 1A, 1B this one here.
So you kind of said it there, though.
Yeah.
Do you expect Kiffin will see year four at LSU? You said probably not, right?
Yeah.
Unless maybe if he wins a national championship. Let me say that. If he wins a national championship, the first three.
Yeah.
Do you think he's there for year four?
I just really feel like this is a 3-year thing. Like by year four, he's in the NFL or they've gotten rid of him.
He burns hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And someone's going to get burned, you know?
Yeah. Because everybody's going to be talking about it, you know?
Right. Yeah. The microscope is on him.
It's like Cignetti, right? I mean, he's seeing all these cool little, you know, comments and Googling him and all this stuff. But, brother, if he does that next year and wins 6 games, they're going to be, nobody cares anymore. You're done. You're old news. And that's the last thing that Lane wants, last thing LSU needs, especially with all this money involved with all these coaches getting fired.
Yeah. Hey, shout out Tracy Shade. You've got to move Tennessee up the list. The Vols are killing it. The portal. Move. Hype up, guys. Go, Vols.
I was going to, but I didn't have my testosterone shot today. You forget, man. A lot of people, they get so, they're like, what did you think about Heupel? I love Heupel. I think he's a great guy. I think he's one of my, I mean, I absolutely think it's a home run hire that we have here in Knoxville, Tennessee. But the problem is, man, I'm chasing that dragon. And that dragon is 22, Hendon Hooker, right? Brother, we were rolling, weren't we? And I can't help but think next year, the year after, like if we had this defense with that offense, we would have been unstoppable. And then now it's like our defense is so bad that Josh Heupel literally has to slow the offense down. And when you do that, Tennessee just sucks to watch sometimes, you know? So yeah, that's why I get on to Heupel all the time. I think he's a great coach, but again, he's been doing more with less talent, and if he had a $40 million roster, I'd be curious to how good Tennessee would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who else is good, Shane?
Road Tide.
Steve it up. Gifted a membership. Thank you, Steve it up. He gifted it to Shane. Giga whoop hurrah. Thank you, Steve it up. The Junior. Shout out, Junior. He gifted Gary O'Neill. Thank you, Junior. Cuz. And then the legend, JR, has done it again, Shane.
The legend, cousin JR, has done it again.
He gifted Larry Dawson. And then we got Bulldog, Mississippi, Shane. Gifted 5 memberships.
Oh, shout baby.
Bulldog. He gifted Mad Mom, cool name. Hunter Black, retired corrections, heartbroken hog, and Tim Molina. All of y'all,
welcome to the family.
And then one at the buzzer, Shane, Johnny Delgado. Shane Beamer lands the number one offensive lineman of the portal and the 2026 recruiting cycle. I can't stand him, but he can recruit his ass off. If nothing else, they got that going for him. You know what?
I told him. I sent him a text. I said, you need more big guys on your roster. So, no, he's been absolutely killing it in the recruiting trail. And brother, I'm excited about all this because I'm watching it, man. I'm starting to imagine what these football teams are going to look like now that we've got these new roster adjustments. You know, I'm sure South Carolina fans are like, oh, my God. We finally got an offensive line. What can Lenora Sellers do now, you know? So I'm pumped up, brother. I am absolutely pumped up. And, man, can't believe I got through a list, Mike. And only changed 2 names during the process.
Well, good luck. I just want to say to your mentions, you might want to mute them for the next couple of days. I know you're stepping away. You will be on tomorrow. So, might want to mute those. But enjoy your time off. We'll see you Wednesday, I guess. Yeah. Anything else before we hop off here?
Got a new shirt up on the website there. So if you look at show notes, Mike will put it on there. It is the Cuz shirt, JP shirt. Speaking of JP, thank you, Cuz. Tonight's shout-outs go to Lowball and Golish, Stephen Up, Junior, Cousin JR, Bulldog Mississippi, Michael Dunlop, Cousin Rick, Shin, Tracy Melton, Johnny Delgado. Thank you, thank you, thank you all. Thank you. I appreciate all the donations, and I appreciate all the cousins hitting that thumbs up on the way out. I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Yeah, and we got 2 shows coming tomorrow. Crazy Marler, Steven. Same time as always with Steven and Marler, around 3:30 Eastern, 2 Central. Steven, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
See you guys. Go ball.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.